Conversations with Kate is like a conversation with your friend, hairstylist, or therapist, where we will talk about music, life, stories, and everything in between, with interviews and guests sprinkled in. As an LCC student, it's an honor, and I love bringing a fresh perspective to the podcast menu on LCC Connect. I am your host, Kate. Let's get into this episode. All right, welcome in. I have a very special guest with me today, Miss Katie Smith. Do you prefer Smith or would you like to go by Whitaker for
Smith?
Smith. Yeah. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Can you tell me about the inspiration for your League of Enchantment?
Sure. So the League of Enchantment is a charity group that visits kids in hospitals. And our inspiration is just to bring hope and smiles to kids in their darkest days.
Yeah.
And not only is it to bring hope and smiles to the kids, but all of our members have a reason they're doing it.
Right.
So it's for them, it's healing. So a lot of it's a healing journey for them while helping kids heal too.
That's wonderful. What was the moment that you realized this idea could become something truly impactful?
So my husband, before I met him, he was Batman. He still is Batman. He's the person that really like got this really going. He invited me to do an event and I met a little girl who was so excited to see me. She was jumping up and down and her mom brought her over. I gave her this giant hug and her mom pulled me aside later and was like, she loves you. She loves Wonder Woman so much because she's bullied in school. She's bullied because she's got darker skin and she has short hair. So I pulled the girl aside after that and I talked about how I was bullied because of my height.
Oh my gosh.
And was able to really connect with her. That was my moment. And every member has that moment, but that one was mine.
I love that. That's wonderful. Why superheroes?
Oh, because it connects with every child. Every child knows Spider-Man, Batman, Wonder Woman.
Right.
And it's such a love.
Yeah. What's the core mission of the League of Enchantment?
The core mission is to bring smiles and hopes to kids' faces.
Are there any other things that you do besides just go see kids in hospitals?
Yeah, so we do a lot of community events too.
Okay.
So we'll do anything that is based around children. Or children are going to be there. So we do a lot of like Make-A-Wish. We do Ellie's Race. We will also be at things like Making Strides Against Breast Cancer because it's for that one, it's not just the kids, but it's the women going through breast cancer that identify as Wonder Woman to be then able to meet Wonder Woman or those other superheroes that they identify with to get them through their hardest times.
That's awesome. Can you share one memorable story or moment from one of your personal visits besides the one that you just shared with us that stuck with you to this day?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's a tough one, though. His name was Peyton. And we were invited to his house because he has DIPG, which is cancer of the brainstem. And he was 5 years old. And he loved Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. So we all came out. And we brought him toys and Nerf guns and stuff. And he and I teamed up and he decided he didn't like Superman anymore. So he took my lasso and he wrapped him up. And then we took Nerf guns and we were attacking him. And then 2 months later, we were invited back to visit him. And we saw a huge change in him. He went from being able to run around to having to sit and being really tired because the cancer was progressing very fast. And then this was early November and I knew he wasn't going to make it till Christmas. So I messaged his mom. I'm like, can we bring him Christmas early? Please. So the week before Thanksgiving, I called the local police department. I said, hey, can you help us? Because he wanted to be a police officer too. So the police officers knew him.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I got you. I'm like, perfect. We did a huge call out to the league and we had 35 members that came up from all over the state of Michigan to visit this little boy. So we met up in a parking lot. We were meeting the police officer. I thought like maybe we'd have like a fire truck. Pulled in. We had five fire trucks, two ladder trucks.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to cry.
Three EMTs.
Oh my gosh.
And 12 police officer cars, like 12 cop cars. Oh my gosh. Like I just started bawling. And so we get all of our princesses and superheroes loaded up in the fire trucks and we drive across the highway and we all unpile and we walk like Top Gun style to his house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. While singing Christmas carols and all of the sirens blasting.
Oh my gosh.
And we brought his family Thanksgiving and Christmas that day.
Okay.
And 2 weeks later, he passed away. And then myself and Batman were invited to be pallbearers in suit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we are still friends with his family to this day because he has made a forever impact in our lives. And his little sister was started battling some health issues. She'll recover, mm-hmm. but she's right. still battling some. So
right.
after she got out of the hospital this last year, she and I did a Wonder Woman photo shoot where she was little
you
Wonder Woman.
That to
yes.
me.
And oh. so precious just to be yes. little, because he passed 5 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we all know his name and we mm-hmm. all, as we say, pay it forward for Peyton. So
I love that. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I'm like sitting here tearing up.
Yeah.
How wonderful. All right. We're going to move to like the operations side of the
yeah.
business. What's the process look like for preparing for a visit, from choosing costumes, choosing people to go, all the way to coordinating with a hospital or a person, a place?
Sure. So when we want to get into a hospital, we have to reach out to them. A lot of the times we have to go through like volunteer services
okay.
or with Sparrow, we're considered like among their special guests. So if like a celebrity came in, we get handlers from the hospital that walk around with us.
Okay.
But all of our members are background checked because okay. we're not going to let anybody near a child
right.
without that. So everyone is background checked. And then after they become a member, they have to do 3 events with a leader. So the leader
okay.
can watch them, make sure they can actually handle a hospital visit.
Okay.
And we do have some members that just can't and they know that.
Right.
And they're like, you know, we want to do the outdoor events. Let's do the fun ones.
Yeah.
Because hospital visits can be tough.
Yeah.
You know, you do see kids sometimes on their last couple of weeks, or you see
that
ones that are dealing with brain trauma and stuff. So we set up the events, and then once the member passes our Training Wheels program, then they
I
can
like
sign
that.
Up.
Training
Isn't that great?
Wheels. Yeah.
Then they can sign up for themselves
right.
for those events. But then we do have a rigorous like costuming guidelines because we want to make sure that our suits, like the kids are going to look at it and I am Wonder Woman. He is Spider-Man, you know, and not go, my mom bought that from Walmart too.
Right.
You don't want those
exactly.
suits.
Exactly. Yes, so. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, when we go to a hospital visit, we bring care packages and each
okay.
care package is specifically set for whatever that kid likes. So
okay.
if the nurse we're with is like, oh my gosh, this one really likes Frozen. I already have a Frozen bag set mm-hmm. aside with a doll of either Anna or Elsa, coloring books, stickers, puzzles, activities, all themed around that one.
Oh, that's cool.
I think
cool.
we have like 15 different varieties of those.
That's so. Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. What are some of the biggest challenges the organization has faced and how have you overcome them?
Oh, at the very beginning, it was getting members.
Okay.
Just trying to start to get members because we are completely volunteer based.
Yes.
So every member is donating their time.
Yeah.
They're donating their money to their suits because
yep.
suits, I mean, some of our Batman suits cost $3,000-$4,000. They're, yeah, because
okay.
they're made out of like real Kevlar.
Yeah.
You want
yes.
the kid to come up and hit them and go, oh, you're really Batman.
Yes. Oh, I love that though.
So just getting members at the very beginning, it's kind of like with anything. You get 5 members to get 1 or 2 that are like, oh, I really, really want to do this and
mm-hmm.
can actually give up their time because it mm-hmm. is a lot.
Yeah.
But we have built an amazing team
because
mm-hmm. we've been around 8 years now.
Okay.
And to be able to see the growth that we have and just the members and just step up.
Right.
I think that was the biggest thing is really just getting the members that can come and then figuring out how many events we can actually take
yeah.
versus all the ones we want to take because we can't take everything.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Do you have a favorite that you do regularly?
Oh, yes. I
okay.
love making strides against breast cancer because
okay.
I have a full pink breast cancer Wonder Woman outfit. Yeah,
what?
It's beautiful.
Okay.
So that one, but then my favorite one that we actually, or it's not kid-based, but mm-hmm. it hit close to home. It's Tunnels to Towers.
What's that?
It is a foundation that raises money to pay off mortgages of fallen and hurt firefighters and police officers. But it originally started because of 9/11.
Okay.
And they do a 5K in Jackson. And
mm-hmm.
then there's a 5K. It's based off of one specific firefighter that had his day off,
mm-hmm.
was going out of the city to go golfing.
Mm-hmm.
First plane hit.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped his car, was going to turn around. Bridges or the tunnels were already closed. So he had his gear in his car. He threw all of his gear on, 70 pounds of gear, and ran to Ground Zero and ended up giving his life to help save people.
Yeah.
But his family picked it up, and the 5K that's in New York starts at where he started and runs all the way to Ground Zero.
Oh, my gosh.
And I cry, like, the entire 5K, but Batman, my husband, and I have been able to do that for the last 3 years, and I will always go to do that one because it's
I don't blame
amazing,
you.
Absolutely incredible. So that's my personal favorite, yeah.
How has the community responded to the League of Enchantment?
Oh my gosh, it's been crazy. It has been absolutely crazy. The first couple of years, like, not many people knew about us. And so now when we're going someplace, there's been times I'm like, oh my gosh, aren't you Wonder Woman? And it's a very weird thing because, like, no one knew about us and now everybody seems to. And so it's amazing. And then we had our own personal kind of trauma last year because we lost a lot of stuff when our trailer caught on fire during our move. And we lost a ton of toys and costumes and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And to see the community's response.
What was their response?
We got 3 times the amount we lost.
Oh my God.
Between people donating, we had a judge in Lansing give us a trailer.
Wow.
We had the amount of packages we had show up at the door was insane. Like, absolutely amazing. I think that alone made me cry almost every single day to see that.
Oh, I bet.
Like, the community is there to help us when we're not able to help the community.
I love that.
It was crazy. It was amazing.
What advice would you give someone who wants to start a nonprofit or a similar thing?
To start a nonprofit, have a group of people behind you to help. You can't do it on your own.
Okay.
You cannot do it on your own.
It takes a village.
It takes a village. It really, really does.
Yes.
Understand that you're not, you know, for us, we don't make money on it. I know some people can, but to understand that you are not going to make money at it. You do this because you love doing it. You do it because you want to help people.
Yes.
And just to understand, it is another full-time job. So just be ready for the commitment.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
How much time would you say that you personally spend?
Depending on the time of year.
Okay. What's the busiest?
Before the gala. That's our fundraiser. And I will spend probably 30 plus hours a week on top of my full-time job.
I've got the save the date for that on my refrigerator.
You need to come. It's amazing.
I will be there next year. And then how much time specifically when you're getting ready for each event? Day of, what does that look like? Walk me through that.
Day of, since I have curly hair, it's definitely a shower to get the curls to come back. Shower, just getting ready, you know, hair, makeup. You know, we always make sure our suits are clean.
Right.
And then it's just head to the event, get dressed there, because you don't want to show up in suit, because Wonder Woman drives a jet.
Yes.
So they can't see me in a car.
No.
So,
have you ever had any like kerfuffles or snafus?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Tell me about one.
So, a lot of the time, so with Batman, he can take his cowl off and nobody knows who he is. And that's great. Same with Spider-Man.
Right.
But I have a tiara. So there's only so much taking off a tiara does.
Yes.
And so I've changed after an event. I'll throw my hair up in a ponytail, throw glasses on. I'm hoping for the Clark Kent effect.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't really work. So a lot of times kids will see me and they're like, oh, is that? And I go, shh. Can't tell anybody my secret identity.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, okay. So then they're my buddy.
It's like, shh.
Yes.
Secret.
Yes, definitely.
Where do you see the League of Enchantment in 5 years?
Ooh, gosh. Well, hopefully in another state.
Okay.
We definitely want to continue expanding because we have Michigan and we have Chicago.
Right.
But then just more, I guess I'd love to see more members. Like, we have almost 200 right now.
That's so
cool.
But,
like, we have so many requests and we still have to deny stuff just because we can't do it. I think I'd love to see more members, another state, and just to see the growth that the league can do and the amount of people we can help in that time would be amazing.
Yeah. Are there new types of characters or themes you're planning to introduce in the future?
So new characters really just depends on like what's coming up.
Right.
Right now, I think we need to add a Bluey to our list. Like we don't have Bluey.
I think that would be a great idea.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Or
Miss Rachel?
We have a Miss Rachel.
You do?
Okay. Yeah. So any character a kid would know and love. So it's not just superheroes, princesses. We have Star Wars. We have Miss Frizzle. Yes. Yes. I know. But then like we have started to introduce some anime, but it kind of just depends on what events we do for that. And then, just any kind of character a kid's going to know.
Mm-hmm. Like that. What about Blue from Blue's Clues?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I think you would have to have like a blue puppet.
Yes.
To make him more recognizable, but that would be
very
cool.
True. What about any Sesame Street characters?
We don't have any Sesame Street guests.
Okay.
But we do have a member who's a great puppeteer. So he brings like Stitch to life. He has him in like a hazmat container.
Okay.
And so he's pretending that he's the hazmat. And so he's got Stitch.
Oh, that's
but he
neat.
Also does that with like, he has Trixie, a dinosaur. So he's a Jurassic Park handler.
Ooh.
And he's very loved that way. So it's fun to watch that.
Okay. What can people do if they want to get involved or support the League of Enchantment?
Yeah, so to get involved, go to our website. It's leagueofenchantment.org or Facebook. It's League of Enchantment Michigan. We do have two. And you can email us and we'll send you an application. So it's an application and a background check.
Okay.
And then if you want to support and go to our website, we have a support button. We're always taking donations. Money goes right to helping kids in the hospital. No one gets paid a penny.
Yes.
And then,
I will verify. I did snoop around the site a little bit. You guys have transparency. Everything is right there.
Yep.
And I love that.
Yeah, definitely.
That is something that most places just don't do.
They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we started it, it was you have to write out the bylaws and everything. And it was very clear nobody wanted to get paid. So it's right in our bylaws.
I love that.
Because we didn't want it to become a job. We wanted it to be something that we all loved. And you get paid, you start to it becomes a chore then.
Yes, exactly. What has founding the organization brought you, or taught you rather, about compassion, resilience, and community?
Oh gosh, for compassion, you don't know what people are going through.
Yeah.
Like you learn to completely not judge a book by its cover,
because
we can go into a hospital room and the kid can look completely fine.
Yeah.
Like the kid can be jumping off the walls, but you don't know that he actually has brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And right then that's a good day for him.
Yeah.
And same with our members too. Mm-hmm. We have members that deal with PTSD, who deal with severe anxiety, but
putting
on that mask
helps
them.
Yes.
And what was the other part of that?
The others were resilience and community.
I think just understanding and being thankful for what you have and where your kids are at. Because I have four kids and you go into the hospital and you see those kiddos in the hospital and you're very thankful that yours are healthy.
Yes.
And then just community. It has made me see how good people really are and how many great people are out there in the hospitals, within the community, meeting all of these other amazing foundations that are based on just helping people has been very eye-opening.
That's good. I love to hear that. If you could say one thing to every child patient you visit, what would it be?
Be the hero someone sees today.
I love that. As one of the founders, what continues to motivate you every day?
Just that next smile, that next hug, the next walking down the hallway and you hear Wonder Woman, and just a kid comes running out of nowhere and just gives you this big hug and goes, I have a toy of you and you're my favorite.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Is there anything going on soon that people could come and see you guys?
Definitely. This Saturday, we are at the Meridian Festival, backed by the Meridian Mall. There's a huge, they have like a food truck rally and a lot of things for kids.
Okay.
So we'll have people there.
Okay.
We're always at Ellie's Race. You can always see us there
when
too.
Is that?
That's in July.
Okay.
Those are the
okay.
ones I can remember. Oh, and Thursday, for anybody who's down by like Chelsea area,
okay. It
is worth a trip. Mm-hmm. It is called Sounds and Sights. It's a huge citywide free festival for
Ooh.
The kids.
Okay.
And it is so much fun. It really is. I think it's Thursday night at like 6.
Okay, so. Wonderful. Good to know. Again, thanks so much, Katie.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conversations with Kate. You can find more information on LCC Connect site, as well as all social platforms, Facebook, Instagram, yes, TikTok as well. Big love.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Lansing Promise Scholarship since 2012. The Lansing Promise Scholarship offers graduating high school seniors who live within the Lansing School District and attend a high school within district boundaries an opportunity to attend LCC. Since its inception, over 1,000 enrolled students have saved over $2 million, earning over 400 degrees and certificates, as well as 30,000 credits at LCC. For more information on the Lansing Promise Scholarship, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
Hi, I'm Lisa Alexander, and I host a show called Who's That Star on LCC Connect. This show is all about an inside look at the LCC community, where you get a chance to meet our faculty and staff, plus learn about their passion projects at work and at home. You can catch Who's That Star here on LCC Connect or listen anytime at lccconnect.org.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Michigan residents age 25 or older may qualify for Michigan Reconnect, a program providing free or reduced tuition to students who have not earned a prior college degree. Reconnect students are responsible for books and fees. Visit lcc.edu/reconnect for more information.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
You're listening to Art Happens Here, the podcast that explores the often curious and occasionally amazing art installations on, in, and around the campuses of Lansing Community College. I'm your host, Bruce Mackley.
So one of the sculpture ideas we had was for a cube, a big, simple square, a block, to reside right on Washington Square, oddly enough, you know, the irony there. What we had was, we started out with three designs, usually top tier, mid-level, and low tier cost-wise for fabrication, installation, and so on. We always recognized the importance of keeping a budget in mind for these. We never went over the top. In fact, it drove every decision we made about doing any of these installations. The three original designs, the top one was, let me see if I can remember this, it was a large black, I think it was painted black, and it was going to be fabricated like it was melting, like the bottom part was coming down into the scoop, and it would have been the pedestal, and it was turning into like liquid gold, right? I'm not sure what the significance of it was, but it was really visually engaging, right? The mid-level design was a picture, just a metal steel cube with drawers pulled out, with various sections like pulled out and angles and crevices and so on. In retrospect, it would have been a nightmare to fabricate for welding and grinding and finishing the edges. It just would have been way over the top cost-wise. The basic model was just a simple square. It was a simple, perfect, multicolored cube. Thinking of the colors, I wanted to do something a little, I was thinking more subtle. But as it turned out, what inspired these colors were military commendations, military badging, you know, the implied nature of that was the inspiration for the direction we went on with these. And they were all, you know, fenced off, various different widths and shapes, and not various shapes, different widths and so on. So that was the one that was chosen. And I won't lie to you, it was a little disappointing because I wanted the drawer version, but this one was by far more fiscally responsible. So hard to design? Not so much. I mean, I think it would took me 20 minutes to do the sketch and then another hour to do the final art. Come to find out that the real beauty with this thing was the paint and how they fabricated it. The company, and I'm going to mention the company, it's AIS Construction Equipment. Fabricated this thing and they painted it. There's a phrase, it's called oil can. It was tossed around, and what it refers to is dents. You know, you see like metal or, you know, body of a car dinged, you know, it just gives it gives up the illusion, if you will. And we wanted to avoid that. So I did see pictures of the cube, this particular cube, before it was put together, and inside is structurally complex. I mean, it's made from pretty heavy gauge steel. I think it was 8 feet across. The sides were 8 feet square. It was put together, and the seams, there are no seams. The edges and the corners were perfection. I mean, and the paint job, you look at it now and it looks minted. I can't figure out how they did it with the colors coming together. I don't see any overlap, nothing. That's where I think the perfection of this sculpture lies, is in its simplicity. We have it up on an end. It's upended at a 45-degree angle. Part of that is establishing a visual tension. It sort of looks like it's floating. There's some landscaping around it, and you can get up to it, but you can't really touch it. But it's just like a few feet away. Truth be told, not really one of my favorites, but it is approaching icon status. I see it in a lot of photos. It's occupied plenty of selfies. I notice people, plenty of students taking selfies in front of it because it has like a very strong presence behind you. I think I would have chosen more subtle colors, but maybe not. I think it performs great. You might even be able to see it from a plane, from a low-flying plane. I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. Leonardo da Vinci once said, "Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication." Come visit Newton's Cube on LCC's downtown campus. Art Happens Here is a production of LCC Connect. If you want to check out what I've been talking about, visit lccconnect.org. Thanks for lending us your imagination.
Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. The LCC Tutoring Services at LCC has developed several options to work with students in their busy schedules, including WebEx tutoring sessions, math exam prep parties, and the Writing Center. Resources include quick print stations, chemistry and anatomy models, microscopes, and several other tools to help students. Tutors may also be available for pre-scheduled after-hours appointments. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
Hey there, this is Dedalian, and I want to invite you to join me for a show called Behind the Connection. It dives into what's happening behind the scenes here at LCC Connect. It also provides you early introductions to new podcasts, some of the Connect initiatives that we are putting forth, and, of course, insights into the concept of building the voices, vibes, and vision of LCC Connect. Find out more about it at our website. It's lccconnect.org.
Have you had to choose between picking up a prescription or buying groceries, paying your utility bill, or insulating your attic? You're not alone. Every day, people across Michigan are faced with choices. Michigan Community Action is a network of agencies helping people achieve greater financial and personal independence through programs such as weatherization, food distribution, utility assistance, and Head Start preschools. The programs supported by Michigan Community Action benefit people all over the state. Maybe you've just lost your job and are having trouble making ends meet. Or maybe you're retired and Social Security isn't enough. Whatever your situation, we may be able to help. Visit MichiganCommunityAction.org or call 855-MI-ACTION to find out more. Helping people. Changing lives. Sponsored by Michigan Community Action and Michigan Broadcasters.
The Adult Enrichment Program at LCC offers classes in watercolor, creative welding, motorcycle safety, photography, and more. All classes are non-credit. Information about the Adult Enrichment Program is available at lcc.edu/keeplearning.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
It's time for Stars on Sport,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports.
Episode of Stars on Sports.
I'd say that again.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our assistant athletic director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Dedalian Lowry. And gentlemen, we're going to be talking today about communication, which we already just learned how important sound can be to a part of that communication or not. And this could go many
And I will say that was my bad. I pressed the wrong button there. It's a complicated job, real complicated.
Well, this podcast only going to get better from here. That's what, again, it's how we respond to that. That's not going to define us at this podcast. So we're going to move forward and do our best. And communication is something we've probably talked about on every podcast, but now have really dived in. And I believe it's one of the most important aspects of a team, one of the most important aspects of society. And again, this could be a 3 or 4 part series, but we're just going to generally hit on it today and how important I feel it is. When I have coaches meetings, when I talk to coaches, I always bring up communication. And I've said before that a coach can get by on is communication and organization, but communication is number one on my list. I had a boss teach me real early in my career that communication solves all problems and it's at the root of all problems. And if you really dive into that, I believe that. I mean, probably a breakdown in communication or a miscommunication or a lack of communication is probably why something can escalate and go astray. And the only way to solve it is to communicate through it. Yeah. So
George Bernard Shaw said something like, the single biggest issue with communication is the illusion that it's taken place.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so that really sums it up beautifully of what you said.
Yeah. And again, we'll go in many different directions. And there's so many different forms of communication. And I even think we're not going to talk a lot about it today, but body language is communication that coaches have really hit on. And we'll talk a little bit about it, but that's something maybe we can dive into a whole podcast later. But back to George Bernard Shaw, I've taken that a little further. And two of the things I tell my coaches in the coaches meeting is, it's not what you say, it's what they hear. I mean, you think you can give the best presentation ever, but if it went way over their head or they didn't listen, it's kind of that illusion of it taking place.
You know, to step back in time a little bit, it's kind of like us. I mean, we're so used to being able to have phones with Google Maps or Waze or whatever it might be you can punch in. But do you remember what it was like when, probably more for like you, Greg, but like,
I remember what it was like
when you had
I get lost still with those.
But you had to ask for directions, and it was up to somebody to explain
where you're
supposed to go.
Yes.
And they might have felt like they explained beautifully where you're going because they, most of the time, they knew right where you're supposed to go. But whatever you received, you end up going, I'm not really sure.
Was that the
know?
First left or was that after I took the first left out of this parking lot?
And so it isn't about what you say. It's what's heard and how you can communicate it.
So, again, a great quote from George Bernard Shaw. Well, nice contribution, Cutter.
Thank you.
And again, it is. So the illusion that it takes place and for coaches it's so important because you communicate regular, you know, in some jobs you might be a little more private, a little less communication, but in practices there's constant communication. And again, I wasn't even going to bring it up, but we'll talk a little bit about a new communication technique you've started this spring in silent practices. So yeah, I go over it with our coaches all the time. You know, when I'm looking to hire a coach, I look at communication as a valuable part to bring to the job. I love associating with people that have specialized in communication backgrounds, can help me be better, but also help coaches be better or become good coaches, because I think it's that important. And there's so many realms of communication, as we've talked about body language or nonverbal, or, you know, in a previous podcast on our year podcast, we talked about listening, how important that is. And that's an important part of communication, to your point of the illusion. I explain this drill as well as possible, and they go out and, you know, run it totally astray. And in consistent communication, as, you know, we talked about consistency on this podcast, and social media, how that's impacted our jobs and in a effective form of communication, because that's where a lot of our student athletes get their communication from.
It really becomes a bridge between like confusion and clarity. And that communication's right in the middle. And if you're in a leadership role, and most people are one way, shape, or form, it's super important that you can communicate not only verbally, but with your actions, you know, your body language, your zest or your energy for what you're doing, that kind of stuff, because people can see that, they can feel it. And if you're trying to say something, but you don't have the other modeling piece with it, that's where the stuff doesn't get heard.
And we've talked about in our office how important words are, and even at the beginning of this podcast, tone, and how through text and email, you might not always get that. And I like sarcasm a little bit, so you have to be careful, because through text and email, they might not get it or understand it. But how important all those factors are into communication, and coaches, you know, in high pressure situations or under stressful circumstances or trying to get attention across the, you know, if you're yelling to your left fielder from the dugout or to a player down 94 feet away from you or a cross country runner out on the course, you got to yell in general. I really encourage our coaches not to yell personally at them. And in some sports, I think it's gotten out of hand a little bit with demonstrative communication and the effectiveness. I actually just saw an article yesterday or day before regarding the University of Michigan's new basketball coach, and he's soft-spoken on the sideline, and they asked, can that be effective in the Big Ten? And a lot of people are going, you're crazy for even bringing this up. And two previous coaches was pretty soft-spoken too, and he was successful, but the perception is you got to be loud and on the officials and on your players to be effective in the Big Ten, and I disagree with that. I encourage our coaches to work on their communication on the sidelines when they're in public, because I think that sets the tone for the whole event.
And I have not had the opportunity to see Cut coach ever. Is that more your approach? Because you seem like a soft-spoken guy.
For the most part, I think that especially in coaching, really important thing is knowing when to respond and when not to, mm-hmm. and understanding where those lines are, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that are going to happen in a work environment or a team environment. And there are times that you need to respond mm-hmm. and there are times that you don't need to. And so I think that's kind of the same in the game situations or in practice situations. I will be soft-spoken, but there will be lines. And I really believe like communication is less about what you know and more about how you act and how you believe in what you think you know.
Well, here's a quote for you. Effective communication is 20% what you know, 80% how you feel about what you know.
Right.
Wow. That's okay.
Peter F. Drucker.
Well, yeah, I like Peter Drucker. He had some good books. And again, that's about passion, too, and about response. I've seen Coach Cut many times, and I don't think I've ever seen him lose control. Oh, I haven't seen him lose control.
My bad. That was Jim Rome.
Jim Rome. Okay, yeah. Not Jim Rome.
Rome.
And I think that's important because in sports, sometimes you think you need to get out of control to like send a message to your team or motivate your team. And sometimes that is effective. But for the most part, it still goes back to ERO and how you respond to certain situations.
Just my perspective, but it goes back to modeling. Mm-hmm. For the most part, student athletes are not going to be at their best if they're losing control or losing mm-hmm. their minds. They're going to model that. And we've seen that as an athletic department, and you've seen it, I'm sure, for a long time at the high school level. If a coach gets really demonstrative, then typically what it does is it allows the fans to take their seatbelts off, and they can start getting demonstrative towards the officials too.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of one of those things where if you can keep a calm mind while everybody else is kind of losing their head, it's a modeling thing, and your players, they're going to go through the same waves at some point, maybe in that situation, maybe another one. They kind of have some guidance. Okay, this is what it looks like, even though the seas are super rough around me. We need to keep somewhat of a level head through all this, and that does feed back into E plus R equals O, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to be perfect, but it means like this is what the standard is, and that's what we're trying to meet.
Yeah, and it definitely helps solve the problem, because if it goes out of control, it's an avalanche. It's contagious proximity. Mm-hmm. It's all those things that if you remain calm, the one person that's out of control, you can help bring them down, then getting three or four more people getting in technical or ejected or demonstrative. And, you know, I always try and talk to coaches or student athletes that get a technical or a unsportsmanlike conduct, and just it's a learning lesson of that the line. We do get to that line sometime, but don't go over the line. If you do go over the line, there's consequences. You know, usually a suspension of some sort.
And the lines are so different too. That's right, really hard. If you start looking at the lines, it's hard to understand, because the things that, you know, somebody like Coach Izzo or a basketball coach can say to officials cannot happen in the sport of baseball. That does not happen. You will be thrown out immediately on the second word, you know. And so the lines are so different. Same thing in football. It's just different lines, and you have to understand what environment you're in. And
well, and sometimes people are enforcing those lines, and some people have different definitions of those lines or different tolerances of the lines. And as good coaches, you learn as you get to know people what those lines, even of your players, the officials, the parent, the crowd, you know, that you can get away with more with a certain official than another. And so, I disagree. There were some demonstrative baseball managers back in the day, but you're right. Nowadays, it has changed. Yep.
You could do a lot of different things. But what we're talking about here is still communication. It's just a different form of it, and that's why it's so important in everything you do.
And in our area, that communication can be verbal, but that's also where body language comes in significantly, of, you know, throwing your arms up or yelling or screaming and getting red. And it is important for our coaches to maintain that. And we have had some coaches that have been more demonstrative in the past that have mellowed out, and we have some that are younger and maybe trying to find their way in that. So there are different lines out there, but there's still a standard of view set in that we have, and thankfully our coaching staff is usually pretty good on the sidelines of you know, representing LCC well, which is our main mission and goal anyway. But, you know, back to that quote you talked about, because I did have this word on here, is enthusiasm and passion. And, like, I love my job. I love educational athletics. So if you get me talking about it, I just start going and I lose track of time and I get real passionate about helping kids succeed in the classroom on the playing field. So I might not know a lot, but I have a passion for it. And I do think coaches have a passion for their sport. So that helps them get through things too, because one, I think it also helps them learn. So you start to learn more, know more of what you're saying. But I think that is an important characteristic too of communication, is believing in what you're saying and having a passion for what you're saying. And I think those, for the most part, successful coaches, those epitomize what successful coaches have. Other parts of communication that, you know, we've dived into is like trying to find our brand in the community. You know, things that I have done is I put out a weekly or biweekly newsletter that I send out to local high schools and people on the college and local media. We've implemented software in our athletic department where I'm able to communicate to all our student athletes and, you know, their schedules on there and trainer schedule. You help set up Google Sheets that, you know, we can send that out there. Text versus mail, I already talked about. So, again, it's so important in our department, because one of the different things about athletics, especially when I was at high school level, is when you work in an educational setting, you spend a lot of time in that institution. But in athletics, we're the one main one that talks to many other institutions. We're communicating with institutions across our state. Like, I was on a cross-country Zoom meeting today with ADs from Maryland to Florida to Arkansas to Kansas, that we have that opportunity by competing or interacting with, you know, with our travel, that communication is important, not only internal, but external, and finding ways to disseminate that information. You know, another thing I do that a lot of ADs in our league do, or some do, is send out communication before each of our contests to all our constituents, the local media, the officials, the opposing school, all the people on our institution that could be impacted by having that contest on a given day. So our security knows that we're going to be in the gym tonight starting at 3:30 and going till 10 o'clock at night. So finding effective ways of communication is important, because you're right, the illusion of it happening is one thing, but how handling it to make it happen is other things. So those are certain things that I have tried to implement in our athletic department to communicate to all our constituents, and then always looking for better ways. I have not done as well on social media. I've tried to put things out on Instagram, is what our student leadership has told us, that their main way of getting, they don't go to our website, they go to Instagram to get information. And I've shared that with the college of how important that is. So
with the studying of excellent teams and what those excellent teams look like versus the average teams, you really find that one of the key denominators there is communication. And that communication leads to either a team that will work together or a team that just happens to be together. And I think that's one of the bridges that separates excellent teams from just average teams. The teams that communication allows them to work together or just happen to be together if it's lacking.
And that's a great segue, because the last part of my notes is that what communication leads to, and we've talked about it before and how important it is as a team, is trust and relationships. Yeah. And you're right. The successful team, by communication, have more trust and stronger relationships, which lead to better performance.
Yeah, so. And the communication isn't always going to be, you know, positive.
Nope.
It's not going to be the blue skies and 75. You know, it's going to be filled with honesty. But I think before you can give a whole lot of truth or honesty, there has to be some trust built into that. And through that trust comes a little bit of belief, you know. And once you have that, then you can add some honesty in there. And that helps with growth. And then you're also adding, you know, the other sides as well. But it is, communication is so important in our world, and it is extremely important as well in the sports world, and makes a huge difference between teams that are, you know, just somewhat status quo or average, and then the excellent teams. And if you look at any excellent teams, it doesn't matter what sport it was, it doesn't matter what time it was, communication is one of the bigger things in every one of those team environments.
And again, we focus on verbal communication, but even in those cases, it's the nonverbal, you can see that the joy, the happiness, the celebration, maybe high fives, you know, Jim Harbaugh the big high five person, and how mm-hmm. contagious that is of just giving a high yeah. five, how like it pumps you up. It makes mm-hmm. it gives you a positive vibe of connecting with another person. And we mm-hmm. see that a lot in when something good happens, but you know, the good teams, it's even, you know, if you strike out or miss a free throw with someone, it seems to be a common thing in basketball when the free throw shooter shoots it, he gives a handshake to the two people.
And now we can bring in the Peter F. Drucker quote. It is the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said. So there you go.
Interesting. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. And they, I was looking at the one at the bottom there, the art of communication.
The art of communication is the language of leadership. That is James Humes. Yeah.
So, and there has been a lot of study on communication, mm-hmm. and it's so unfortunate that we all struggle with it sometimes. And even some would argue, I mean, that's human nature, but
yeah,
that
we're a work in progress. Yeah, so you're going to see some of those struggles.
But another quick thing to hit on, especially you know when we're limited by time, is effective communication. And like, is it to inform? Is it to persuade? Is it to entertain? Is it to disagree with? And I think coaches have to, you know, another podcast topic just for you that want to listen in the future is choosing your battles. Mm-hmm. Is using communication in the right way, whether it's through an email, whether it's having a team meeting, whether like to your point, like, you know, the kid just struck out. Do you want to go yell at him now, or do you wait and let it, you know, soak in? And just finding the right times too can be calling. You know, I've seen games won and lost by coaches calling timeouts in the right second or changing pitchers. I saw a great cartoon the other day. It said it was a pitcher on the mound. The coach comes down and he goes, "How come you never come out here when I'm doing a good thing?" You know, and I thought that's funny. You know, and back to Charmin and sensitive society to a certain extent, but. How important it is, especially in sports, when success is on the line, per se, I mean, and much more than wins and losses, yeah. but even, again, that pitcher's belief system or confidence or morale.
It's important into who we are as well, because I think communication provides clarity, which then eliminates confusion.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, when you have clarity, you're going to be successful, and I believe confusion, for some reason, is a lack of clear communication. But to get the back to clarity, you need to communicate correctly. And I don't mind taking ownership. Like, if I think I explained something and they did it wrong, I like a teacher on a test. Like, if a kid fail a test, I think the teacher has ownership that the content wasn't communicated correctly, just like the same as coaches. And I have that same thing. Well, obviously, I had a role in not communicating that effectively to that person that, again, some of it's the ownership of the person, but working hard to find the best way to get through to student athletes. And that's because the other thing I always tell my coaches, every student athlete is different. I encourage our coaches to talk, or their staff, talk to every kid every day just to get a feeling of how they're doing or what they're doing. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time on communication in coaches' meeting. I hit those points every time. It's that important.
Repetition is necessary,
and,
for sure.
And consistency. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a superpower, and I think consistent communication can go a long way. And I think sometimes we focus in athletics on when something bad happens, but I, you know, again, I think that the emphasis can also be when the good things happen on how to handle that and how to communicate that well. And I probably don't do a good enough job in communicating when people do well, because I expect that. You know, let's celebrate
Sure. So much more of a thinker and might be communicating in my head, but then oftentimes forget to, you know, say what I'm thinking about. So
I will say that I'm guilty of that.
And I think we all are. And again, it's something that all we continue to get better on, even the best. And, you know, even our president that have been great communicators can get better. I like using humor in communication. As you mentioned, I do a lot of thinking too and processing or writing it down, as we talked about, journaling or finding the time to speak it. And know that timing's everything too, and tone.
It just goes a long way. Just to kind of finish up, Dedalion reached out to me a couple months ago or whatever and said a couple things about, you know, podcasts, and he didn't have to say that kind of stuff, but he was being honest, and that stuff goes a long way. But, you know, we all oftentimes think it, but then we just kind of fail on the communication part, where it can help somebody either get better or just might help them with their day at that point.
And I think I'd like to end on that point before we go to our end of the year question, or end of this podcast question, not end of the year yet. unless we're getting canceled after these conversations, Dedalion. But one, you know, my original intent of this communication thing was how one word can change the whole conversation, because we've talked about that. So we'll go into that another topic just to, again, but I haven't talked about, you know, even reputation. One word can change a reputation. So, and I'm not, I have a strong vocabulary. So I wish I tried to read more to, even at my age, to be better at vocabulary, because I think that helps in communication. And then the second thing is, what a great example to end on. And I've, since the pandemic, I've tried to do better is send out thinking notes, show your appreciation to people, tell them, give them compliments, and, you know, be kind. In this world, when we can be anything, be kind and do that through communication. That if you see something you like or you see something down, bring them up, send them a note. And I've tried to do more too. Of, you know, on Fridays, I try and send out a thank you to someone on campus or across the country. And I wasn't good at that. You know, I had my previous boss was, so I took it from him. And then the pandemic, I had time and I saw the impact that it had on other people. I mean, they would send me something back much nicer than I sent them. You know, and I'm thinking that's not, was not my intent. I was just thinking of you and I wanted to send something positive. So I encourage all three listeners out there to do that. So thanks, Mom and Dad. Last question, gentlemen. I had two I was debating on, so we might do two if we're not. But first one, we'll go with pasta. You know, I love pasta. It's a good meal for student athletes for the most part, you know, with carbohydrates and starch and such. So do you have a favorite pasta? My guess is where I wanted to start. Do you like pasta?
Well, you said sports, and I remember in high school we'd go over, you know, on game days or the night before and have a team dinner and things like that. And it was always spaghetti, and my mom makes world-famous spaghetti. So I think it's kind of just been spaghetti. And because she made world-famous spaghetti, now I make world-famous spaghetti. And I think only my daughters would agree to that. Usually my wife's
That's one good crowd.
So, only crowd that matters.
Yeah, right. So spaghetti with meatballs or without meatballs?
With meat, but not the balls.
Okay, with meat. I'd prefer meat sauce, too. Thin straight lines? I mean, that's what spaghetti is, right, when we're clarifying.
The thin and the noodles cannot be al dente.
So a little story behind spaghetti. I hate to do this because we're late in the show here.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
But it is one of those things where I've got to share this, and I don't think Mom's going to hear this, so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. And I am sorry, Mom, if you do hear this. But my mom, growing up, made the worst spaghetti in the world. It was the thinnest, disgustingest, most worst, terrible spaghetti with these big chunks of tomato in it.
Oh, I don't like tomatoes either.
And huge chunks of meat. And then one day, and you know, and I thought for the longest time I hated spaghetti. And then she bought like ragu or Prego or I don't know, something in a jar one day.
Prego.
She put it on there. And I went, oh, my God, I like spaghetti. I like spaghetti, Mom. So after that, she never made her own spaghetti sauce. I guess she kind of knows the story, so even if she does hear it.
That is good. But do you have a favorite pasta?
Well, if you're talking about a particular Italian dish, I am a huge fan of manicotti. But when it comes to actual pasta, I like the seashell pastas in my mac and cheese.
Okay.
Because it cups that cheese and it adds like that cheese vibe.
Okay.
I love seashell pasta.
Dish on your mom, but I didn't like tomatoes either. My mom would put them in a blender and, you know, so they weren't chunky, because I did not like cooked chunky tomatoes for making spaghetti.
I know, so gross.
And growing up, you know, even like when you go to the college, it seems like you learn how to do laundry and cook, and you know, you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but making pasta with a pretty cheap and easy meal you made, and you throw it against the refrigerator to see if it sticks, to see if they're done, because I don't like overcooked pasta either. And I'm glad you brought up, I wasn't thinking Italian dishes, I was thinking pasta itself, but I'm a big ziti person.
Oh, ziti's good, yeah.
But I love, there's some good manicotti. There was a restaurant in Ann Arbor that had a great manicotti. But again, those are my favorite pasta dishes, but my go-to is mac and cheese. I could eat mac and, my wife makes the best, my mom made the best homemade mac and cheese, and you know, and during Lent and other times, you know, live on macaroni. I can get macaroni and cheese at any restaurant.
I'm going to have to bring in my mac and cheese sometime.
All right, well, have food.
Because that became my quest during 2020. I was, like, looking for the best mac and cheese recipe, and I found it, I think.
And they've added too many ingredients to it. You know, you can add any protein to it now. I just like a good cheesy
I don't mind a little protein, a little bacon.
I don't mind it. I was saying you could, too. But, so again, so manicotti. I love spaghetti. I like meatballs with my spaghetti.
You know, we just need to open up a food podcast.
I just re-listened to our one about
food.
Tater tots was so funny. Yeah, when we just
Stars concession stand.
There you go. But that's why I like having it at the end here, just to have some time to spend on food in general. So, till next time, go Stars.
Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalion Lowry and Journey Robinson. You can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.